Good morning slash good evening slash whatever it is right now. Hey, we're on the air. This is the Matt Bubala overnight experience. Apologize for the lack of music right now. I know it's painful for you. It's painful for me, but we're just going to have to get through it. We're having a little bit of a computer issue that is going to be rectified. Hi, it's your friend Carm. Hi, Laura. This is Laura Meager. We are popping our radio cherry tonight. Laura, how are you?
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say it like that?
You could say it like that, but it's not true. My radio cherry was popped years ago.
Well, I'm saying me and you together. This has never happened before. I just met you. We've been communicating via email all week long.
Yes.
And this is our first radio show together.
This is our first eye-to-eye contact.
It is. Well, you look very nice.
You look very nice.
You're very professional.
And you?
No. I'm wearing, on the overnight, you can wear whatever you want. At least in my mind, you can. So I've got my hooded sweatshirt on, but I am wearing slacks from an earlier, like I was on TV earlier today, good old Comcast Sportsnet, Sports Talk Live with David Kaplan. So I got my slacks on from that, which I took a nap
in. Those are slacks, aren't they? Those are the definition of slacks.
These are slacks, like 1942 slacks.
They're not pants.
No, they're not pants. These are slacks. These are
like, beige.
I think my dad,
pockets.
Papa Fred, who's 91, passed these down to me, and now I'm wearing them. Basically, this is some old school stuff right here. And I got my gym shoes on, so I feel ready to go.
Sporty.
Just to paint the picture, Laura's wearing a nice blazer, button-down shirt, looks very ladylike.
Thank you.
And then you have to sit with Carm for the next... Well,
it's my pleasure to sit with Carm.
Really?
Are you kidding? As a matter of fact, rumor has it, you are WGN's most eligible bachelor.
Well, that's so nice to hear, and also painful all at the same time. But perhaps true. Well, hold on a second. Before we get into my dating, I want to learn, like, for those who are first listening.
Is this a defense mechanism? Like, you don't want to talk about the fact that you're the most eligible bachelor here at WGN?
Well, we got a long time to spend tonight. I feel like we have ample time to get there. I just want you to...
Got a lot of questions.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, but I am avoiding right now. We'll get to the approach mode.
It's obvious. It's not just obvious to me.
Well, sure. Perhaps to others as well.
This male, super sporty guy defense.
Yep.
But you know what I suspect? I suspect behind that super sporty guy part, there's a guy in touch with his feminine side.
You do? Where are you getting that? How are you feeling that already?
It's in your eyelashes.
Really? In my eyelashes?
Lashes.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're a little bit curly, and you know that they are.
Are you psychic, Laura?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Really?
And what I'm picking up now is you would like to create a web page on a dating website. Have you got one?
Do I have a dating website?
Have you ever created a profile on a dating website?
Oh, of course.
Oh, you have?
Very much so. I do it daily.
No, I'm serious. Have you ever met people through...
Very much so, yes.
Me too.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Currently, sort of more into OKC.
The old OK Cupid, huh?
Right. And you?
I recently added the Bumble to my life.
The Bumble? I'm not familiar with the Bumble. Well, what's going on the Bumble?
Technically, it's just Bumble. Well, that's what it does. But there's another bee in your hive, that type of thing. You never heard of Bumble?
Can we say that? There's another bee in your hive?
I believe you.
Whoa.
I mean, is that too aggressive?
Is there a bee in your hive or there's a bee in my hive?
Well, in the Bumble world, I don't know what's going on in your mind, Laura, but I like it.
Well, you know, I'm not the only person who thought it. I'm just the only person who said it.
Okay. Well, yeah, Bumble's is my new thing, but it's not really new. I feel like Bumble's been out there for a while now.
I have heard of it. But
yeah.
I'm not on it.
Okay. Well, so you're like old school. Okay, Cupid, you got to get on the website, right?
There's an app.
There's an app, huh? Well, do you normally date via your app or do you normally date via your sit-at-home computer?
There I'm old school. There I'm, give me the big screen. I'm not the app kind of gal. I don't know why. I'm much more comfortable with the big screen.
Right. See, I mean...
So I did bring, haven't you noticed the dinosaur here?
You have an outstanding MacBook Pro right there. Yes, it's very nice.
You know what?
Good size screen.
This thing is a workhorse.
Gets
the job done, and we are going to create a page for you.
What are we going to do? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that is
Shantae,
what we're doing.
Shantae, did you know about this, that she's creating a dating page for me? On what website?
Shantae's not the only person who knew about it.
Who else knew about it?
Well, our assistant program director knew.
Stephanie Menendez knew that you're going to create a program for me? Or a website for me? Or you're going
to... Yes, that I wanted to.
She didn't tell me this? What type of...
I asked her not to.
What type of organization is this?
I asked her not to, and she kept my secret. And she didn't know really the details. I just said, I've heard, rumor has it, that Mark is WGN's most eligible bachelor.
Where'd you hear that from exactly?
Adele.
Adele.
Rumor has it.
When we get the computer rolling, Shantae could bust out a rumor for you. I love rumor. By the way, 312-981-7200, if you want to join the dating conversation.
Seriously, we do.
Seriously.
Both of us do have pages on match websites. No? You really do.
I really, really do.
And I really do, too. So what name do you use? What's your profile page name?
I don't even know.
But you created it.
Well, I'm Match.com seems like so 1972 at this point. Like, that's just over and done.
Well, it is. I was never on Match.com.
How come? What didn't you like about Match.com?
The name?
You just didn't want to be matched?
Yeah, I didn't want to be matched. I wanted to be okayed.
You wanted to be...
I needed that okay stamp on my forehead.
Right, right.
And then there's POF, Plenty of Fish.
Yeah, see, the whole Plenty of Fish thing.
It's in France, where I lived for a while. They don't even know, because it's an anagram... They don't recognize that it's an anagram, so they call it POF.
The old POF. Are you going to get on POF tonight?
I'm on POF.
You're on POF.
Yeah. So while I was in France, I was Chicago Laura, and now that I'm here, I'm Paris Laura.
Oh.
Because I'm trying to communicate a little something with the name. Isn't that what we do with the name? Come on, what's your name on there?
I'm just into the swipes now. You don't need a name. There's no such thing as a name.
Tell us about the swipes.
Well, I mean, Bumble's a swipe. Like, I don't have...
What does it mean, it's a swipe?
Well, you just... Your picture pops up, and that's it. Like, there's no... Like if I pull up...
I think we need a little more detail than your picture pops up, and that's it.
Well, I mean, I just logged into the bum.
Okay.
The old Bumble.
Okay.
And so, you know, Catherine pops up. It says her age, what she does, and where she went to college, and that's it. There's no name.
She's pretty. Look at her. She whitens her teeth. She's got dyed long blonde hair. She's all dressed in red, which works with the blonde.
Yeah, she's got the Redskins going on. That's a swipe right.
Swipe right means?
See, that's the thing with Bumble that's beautiful, I think, for men. Because if you swipe right, then the woman knows that you're interested, but they have to initiate the conversation.
Oh.
So you have to talk to us first.
Now, that reminds me of a website that's called Gleeden. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Gleeden exists in Europe, and it's for extramarital affairs. And if you are on public transportation all over Paris, there are these gigantic billboards advertising for this website for extramarital affairs. Can you imagine this in the United States?
Yes, of course. They're out there everywhere.
No, but you don't see ads on buses or in the metro station.
That's aggressive.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
First time I saw one, a gigantic billboard in the metro, Gleeden, created by women for women. And it's about extramarital affairs. And women have all the power, all the control in the situation, like you just described. You swipe right, and she knows you like her, but you can't do more than that. It's all up to her.
Right. But then once they write you, then now you know they're interested. They've written you.
What kind of things do they write you, Mark?
What kind of things do they write
me? Read us a couple of things.
That seems kind of personal, Laura.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Well, most people write me, I take it you're really into sports.
That's clever.
I get a lot of that. And some people just say hi. And I honestly think, if I may.
Please.
The 40-year-old guy that I am, the 40-ish-year-old guy, there must be a dearth of me out there. Because, and me would fall under the umbrella of... Single, never married, no kids, has a job, moderately decent looking. Like, seems...
You consider yourself moderately decent looking?
Well, I didn't want to overstate it. How about good looking? There, we'll go there.
There you go. Go there. You can
decent looking guy. Well, it's all subjective.
Very good looking guy.
Oh, Laura.
Come on.
Thank you so much. Sir, that dude out there seems like, judging by the amount of response that I get, without sounding egotistical here, it's like, is there anybody, who are the dudes in this city that women the ages, say, call it 35 to 42, are going out with?
Like, I wouldn't know.
Okay. Well,
that's a too young age range for me.
Well, but the point being here is that I
missed the point, didn't I?
Well, I don't know if you did.
It's so painful to be me, missing the point everywhere I go.
I don't feel like you missed the point ever, Laura. I feel like you're generally on point. I feel like you got a lot going on in your head. I think there's a lot of thoughts there, and you could go every which way.
Can I tell you messages that I got today?
Sure, please.
Okay, never send these messages, Mark, okay?
Okay, fine.
And listen, I just like anyone who has got messages like this to share with me, why are we getting them? I got, you're so cute, baby boo.
Baby boo?
Baby boo.
What happens if you just stopped at you're so cute?
Nothing happens. I don't answer that. I got, hi. I got, what's your name? Come up with something. Be a little creative. A little intellectually stimulating.
Read me your witty. Read me your profile. I'll tell you what I'd say to you.
First of all, I can't get on. Let me see if I can get on my computer. I don't know.
Laura, you're very skilled. I believe you can do this.
I am skilled.
773 text.
Except, you know what I, excuse me for cutting you off.
No problem.
What I've just realized, Mark, is you've deflected the attention off of you and onto me, and that's not going to happen. Sorry. We're going back to you. This is all about you and not about me. We could get to me later. Maybe. We'll see about that. But for now, let's create your page, Mark.
Why are you setting the rules, Laura?
Because I'm in charge here.
Are you really?
You know, Alexander Haig called, and he passed something off to me. He passed the in-chargeness off to me.
I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, he did. Well, you weren't here. What time did you get here, Mark?
I got here at 12:30.
You are so not telling the truth.
I'm so truthful. I couldn't be more truthful.
You got here at like 2:04.
I came down and saw you at 2:04. I've been here since 12:30.
Okay, I want
Mark's
witnesses.
Been upstairs.
Thank you, Roger.
Okay,
he
Roger.
He was upstairs with her. With me. He was in the sports department.
I would like to hear an apology.
I do humbly apologize.
Thank you very much.
In fact, I thank you for staying upstairs because that meant we could meet live on the air and share the meeting with Chicago.
You expressed that desire.
How's it going out there, Chicago? Are we meeting well? So far.
312-981-7200. Who's more uncomfortable than me right now? Baddest, okay, do you hear how uncomfortable I am?
You're hanging in there, buddy.
Is it coming through?
You're hanging in there.
Are you ready?
You haven't talked about what? It wasn't the Tinder. What was the other one? No, J-Swipe.
J-Swipe, yeah.
Yeah, we did that once.
We haven't gotten to the Jewish...
Okay, so Roger seems to be in cahoots with you.
No.
Keeping me away from...
I just pay attention.
...starting the web page by asking the following question.
Well, hold on a second. What page are you putting me on? Are you making... What site are you adding
Nothing
to my life?
Nothing yet.
Okay, good.
I'd just like to get the questions started, and we'll see if we want to...
She's doing background on
Shantae, do we have to take a break right now?
See, what is the difficulty here?
Well, now it's just fun to fight you on it.
More than
anything else.
All right.
But I am curious. We have one break before 2:30, is that correct? One break before 2:30. Okay, go ahead.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
What was it?
Like, you know, lots of things.
Lots of things? Are you a kleptomaniac?
I wouldn't. No, absolutely not. What have I ever stolen anything? Why are you including, like, this is a topic for later in the show. 847.
Hey,
Carm, are you crazy? She sounds fantabulous.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, Roger.
I'm just whispering in your ear. No one else can hear me.
Okay.
All right.
Don't admit to stealing on the air. Is that what you're going to tell me?
No. You could say, well, once I stole a girl's heart.
Ooh, Roger.
Mm-hmm. Bam. Yeah. Leave it at that.
Yeah, but see, like,
move on.
That's not bad. I do get that. I sometimes ask on the day, what do you steal? Because people deny that they steal things.
Oh, I don't deny it. I stole stuff.
What did you steal?
No, we're on you, Mark. The focus is on you.
You know,
do you see people call, 591-312-9817200 or text.
What is 591?
Somebody back me. I don't know. It's an old number from like 1980 something.
I asked you before the show, like, when's the last time you did a radio show? You just said 10 years ago.
Again, deflecting from... Please text, call in back me up on how slippery Mark is.
Well,
he won't stay on point, which is all about him.
Laura, see, this is what happens in a conversation. It goes back and forth.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
Have you ever been handcuffed against your will?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
By an officer of the law?
Probably yes. After a sporting event.
Yes, 1993. I've told the story. 1993, Game 4 NBA Finals, Bulls-Phoenix Suns. I was debating going in on a ticket that wasn't for the actual day of that game. I was with a date at the time, young Katie, and we were outside Chicago Stadium, and I was debating going in, but then I thought to myself, you know what, I don't want to risk losing my family season tickets to the Chicago Bulls. We were a very lucky family. Thank you, Papa Fred. And so I didn't want to risk losing those tickets, so I walked outside, and I was asked by a gentleman who I thought was selling tickets on the street. He said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm thinking about going in on these seats, but I'm not sure. What do you got? What are you selling? Do you know an usher? They used to be old school back in the day. You're falling asleep? It's a little too long. She asked for a story, Roger.
She asked the question.
And I know I'm
you're
telling
giving
the story.
Her the detail.
I'll get to the part about the handcuffs.
The point is that I told the guy what I was doing. He said, wait, what are you doing? And the next thing I know, he ripped out the handcuffs, handcuffed me to her, and took us away into the paddy wagon, off to Harrison, while Michael Jordan went out and scored 55 points in Game 4 of the 1993 NBA
wow.
Finals. I didn't see 1 second of it, but I did meet some interesting people. And, of course, I had a little bit of a meltdown as we were getting walked away. I'm like, you cannot arrest me for thinking about doing something. I didn't do it.
I think
about doing terrible things all the time. I'm thinking about robbing that bank. You know what? Didn't do it.
Did you think about kissing that girl while you were handcuffed to her?
Well, we were dating. We were way past any thoughts of kissing.
Did you think about doing anything with that girl while you were handcuffed to her?
Wow. Laura, What a left turn that was. I thought about really apologizing profusely to her mom when I got out of the cell first and she was still in her own cell.
Ooh.
Dad, can you help get Katie out, please? Thanks. Appreciate it. That was rough.
Have you ever done time?
No.
Well, you did about 10 minutes that night. That's not doing time.
That's not doing time.
Have you ever force-friended someone?
What does that mean?
Someone force friended me once. I was at a table in a bar with a friend and a friend of his. And he said, you know, Paula tried to friend you on Facebook, but you didn't answer in front of Paula.
Uh-huh.
So now I made up some lie about how I didn't really recognize how that worked or something like that. And he literally grabbed my phone, opened my Facebook app, and accepted her as a friend. And the fact was, I didn't like this girl. I didn't want to be friended by Paula. But now that's force friending.
Well, you know how Facebook works, right, Laura?
Yes, I do, Mark.
So you could unfriend or mute if
but
you didn't want to be rude.
I really like this guy. He's a good friend, and he really likes that person. And if I was feeling like I was cornered. I was forced into accepting her into my social network of friends. And if I unfriended her, I felt like I risked his being upset with me.
Do you have trouble staying on your own side, Laura?
Welcome to the Dr. Mark Show. Can I lay down right here?
You don't have to perhaps lay down. We can sit and have a psychological discussion. I'm just wondering, why didn't you stand up for yourself there and say, hey, buddy.
Give me back my phone, unfriend her in front of this girl? Because it felt very, very
awkward.
Well,
the whole in front of it, no, you couldn't do it right there, although you could.
I just let some time pass.
And then what happened? Are you still friends with this person today?
Took her off the friend status into acquaintance, so she could no longer really see my stuff or interact with my stuff or put her stuff on my page, etc.
You moved her to acquaintance.
I did. And then after a certain amount of time as acquaintance, I unfriended her.
Wow. So it was the slow burn.
It was a slow burn because I didn't really want any awareness on the whole thing. And maybe sooner or later there was some, but I needed some distance. I needed some time. You're right, Mark. I'm weak. I have a very weak personality.
I did not say you were weak. No one said anything of the sort. Hey, 312-981-7200. Dating horror stories are welcome here. Cookie, I see you on the text line. Appreciate your love. Thank you, Cookie.
And so you've never been force-friended?
No.
Okay.
No.
Have you ever been inappropriate?
Sure.
Would you like to share a story of when you were inappropriate?
312-981-7200. We do have to take a quick time out. I'll think about that. Let me think about that. Let me come up.
I can't wait.
Yes. Okay, Laura. Hey, it's 720 WGN.
Rumor has it that Mark Carman has trouble talking about himself.
It's been an interesting news break, I'll tell you that much. I've been getting texts from Laura. I'm sitting 3 feet from her, texting me questions.
Yeah, I wanted to know what he stole, and he wouldn't tell us on the air, but he told me in a text. Go figure. What does that mean? Tell us. What is this anyway? Malt cups?
Yeah, this was a long time ago. Not anything I'm particularly proud of. But back in the day, I was a vendor at Wrigley Field, which had a little bit of an epidemic of the vendors perhaps not being above board, and also the cashiers not being above board, and everybody really taking doing things that they should not have been doing. So I was a young man, 18 years old, whatever it was, and you could go.
Oh, this is years ago.
Yes, that's harsh. Not sure that I like Laura Meager. She's just killing me left and right here. So
you need to be killed a little bit. I feel that about you.
Really?
Like you run around with this like sporty, also like boy next door, innocent, don't hurt me because, I don't know. But at the same time, you're running the show. That's obvious.
Well, I have been here before a couple times.
I didn't mean this show.
Which show?
And you know it.
Which show do you
back
think
of? Back to the theme.
No,
we're below board.
Okay, so finishing the story, you would be able. Let's just say that.
Ooh, I've thrown him off. Did everybody pick up on that? I threw him off.
Shantae, do I seem thrown off?
Absolutely. Shantae, back me up.
Shantae is saying no. Thank you very much, Shantae.
Okay, fine.
Baddest, do I seem thrown off?
You're on your A game, dude.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Baddest.
I'm outnumbered.
Not only are you...
I'm the new kid. What do you expect?
Ask him a tennis question.
Well, we're going to get there, Roger.
Oh, okay.
You are so right on. We are going to get there. Mr. Who thinks like he's got this career in his future of being a professional tennis player.
Who are you to say that I can't do that? Why would you ever...
Did you play today?
No, but I played...
Then I'm the one who's going to say, because if you wanted to be a professional tennis player, you'd be playing that game every day.
Well, I was on the basketball court today because
We're not talking about basketball. Well, we're talking about tennis.
It gets me in condition for tennis more.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
All right.
How
does it do that exactly?
Well, when you run up and down
the dribbling?
Well,
no.
It's a very high-level cardio activity, which is good for the tennis court.
There's a lot of activities that are high-level cardio that have nothing... No. You know, you are Mr. Deflect. He's really... Roger?
No, he's just going with the flow.
Thank you, Roger.
I've known Mark for a long time.
I'm not turning to the team anymore. No one backs
no,
me up because
you know
I
what?
Just got here.
Mark will tell you. I tell it like it is.
Okay.
And when you got it going, then I'm going to let you know you got it going.
Thank you, Rabbi Baddish. 312-981-7200. If anybody else would like to support me, I'd appreciate your support. 312-981.
I want to go back to thievery.
The point is that I would go into the cooler and I would take as many malt cups as I possibly could, put it in my bin, and then I would provide those malt cups to very ice cream hungry Cub fans, and perhaps some of that money or all of that money was going to me and not to the Chicago Cubs. So that was perhaps why they had a huge drought and didn't win the World Series until 2016. Or that wasn't the reason. You decide.
Yeah, right. You decide. 312-981-7200.
That only lasted for like a month, and then like the cashier and everybody else got the old heave-ho, and then they instituted a computer system, and then from there I was above board and went on to have a tremendous vending career. The only profession that I actually did reach the pinnacle in, Laura, where I did rise from cotton candy and malt cups to hot dogs through peanuts all the way to the top, old style first, and then to the beautiful red tub, which is Budweiser, and that is the top of the vending community, and I made it there.
Congratulations.
Forever
that
proud.
That is an impressive career as
it
a
is.
Vendor.
It is. It took years.
Did you ever do Good Humor ice cream trucks?
Did I ever do them?
Not do in that sense.
I mean,
Mark.
What do you mean by that? Like work as a Good Humor?
Yes.
No, no. But I did have a hot dog cart one summer in downtown beautiful Highland Park. I would roll it out with two of my friends from the Park District, and we'd roll it to downtown, and we would sell hot dogs, and we had a pretzel cart, too. But then we quit in July because it was boring.
Okay, this might be like too far. I just free associated all the way to Will Ferrell's impersonation of Harry Carey.
Yeah.
Where he was, I wish I could do it. If I was a hot dog, would you eat me?
That was pretty good.
No, not really. But you're very kind.
You gave it an attempt,
Laura. I did. Okay, let's go back to you. An inappropriate moment was the...
What do you mean by inappropriate?
Well, what do you mean by inappropriate,
I'm
Mark?
Not... Well, I'm not sure.
I think it's a very personal... I think it's defined...
Inappropriate.
Yeah. What does that mean to you?
Of course. Of course.
What does it mean to you to be inappropriate?
Doing something that's not approved by society.
Whoever they might be.
Whoever they might be.
Okay, so give us. Won't you share a story of when you've been inappropriate?
You first.
Oh, me first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I am the very definition of inappropriate. I've got a long list of inappropriate stories.
Tell one.
All right. I was a stage manager on what was then called AM Chicago at WLS.
Uh-huh.
This is precursor to Oprah Winfrey. And Red Skelton was a guest.
Okay.
And at the end of the show, it was up to me to walk him to the elevator, get in the elevator with him, and ride down from something like the 10th floor. And I'm alone in the elevator with Red Skelton.
Okay.
Who's a comedian. People know who Red Skelton is, no?
Perhaps not.
Well, he's a comedian. He's a, you know,
he was a comedian. He had his own TV show, very highly rated TV show. He was also a vaudevillian.
Yes.
You were in the company of royalty.
I was,
yes.
In fact.
I'm very impressed.
Oh, thank you. For the first time. Thank you,
I told
Roger.
You. I call it like I see it.
Oh, my gosh. I feel warm all over.
Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Am I blushing?
Seriously.
You
I
are.
Know. I can't tell.
And,
oh.
And yeah, I'm not that impressed, but that's cool.
It's like Dick Van Dyke. It's like...
Yeah. Okay, it's huge. I get it.
Huge.
Seriously.
Big moment.
Huge. Yes. And so I'm alone in the elevator with Red Skelton, and I decide to go for this. You know that little gag you can do, point at someone in the center of the chest and say, "What's that?" And they look down and you hit them in the nose?
Yeah.
I did that.
To Red Skelton?
Yes, I did.
And what did Red Skelton do?
He looked at me like he could have killed me with his eyes.
You,
if looks
how old were you when you did that?
You trolled Red Skelton.
I did.
That's outstanding.
And it was dead silent, and I had to ride down the 10, 12 stories, because I did it immediately, figuring it's now or never. I wanted to do a practical joke. The man was famous for practical jokes. I thought, okay, I'm turning the tables. But who am I to turn the table? That's what his reaction was. Who are you turn the tables on me? I'm Red Skelton.
What were you hoping to get out of this?
A laugh.
Okay, so some relation, a little rapport, perhaps?
Yeah. Like, right. I can be funny, too. I wanted to relate, exactly.
And Red didn't go for it?
Not at all.
Not
and
at all.
I lost respect for Red. I mean, I was perhaps inappropriate from his point of view. From my point of view, I was being playful.
Roger?
How long had you been working there, doing that?
The more relevant question, Roger, is how much longer did I work there after
No,
that?
Don't worry about that, because that's probably already a given. But I want...
I was freelance. It didn't matter.
Oh, you were freelance.
Care. I've always been freelance.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm a gypsy.
I would say...
I'm a gun for hire, Roger. You got anything... anybody want me to kill?
It's all right. I've taken care of them. I would say that was probably inappropriate. First of all, you invaded his personal space.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Touched him.
You were in, for lack of a better word, an intern.
Mm-hmm.
As some people might have said, a gopher.
I was a member of the Directors Guild of America.
God bless. And you were escorting someone down an elevator.
Okay, well, this story was about being inappropriate, and I'm telling you guys,
were very inappropriate.
A list of inappropriate from which to choose.
And that's a good one, Mark.
Wasn't that a good
starter?
That's
a good one, Mark.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Can I get a little applause or something? Is that it?
Way to go.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Oh, snapping. Thank
you
very much.
How about a romantic night at Mercury Theater Chicago? I left my heart a salute to the music of Tony Bennett. Superb singers performing Tony Bennett.
A little bit of an accident of the...
No, I think your snapping fingers set off the automatic machine.
The automatic Tony Bennett machine?
Yeah. Automatic
Tony Bennett. That's fantastic. All right, are you clean obsessed?
No.
We're going on with the profile.
Absolutely not.
So you can walk past a bottle of Purell.
Yeah, I think Purell is dangerous.
Do you?
I do.
In what respect?
I don't know. How do they come up with the Purell? I just give me some old school soap. What's in that bottle?
I don't know either.
I don't want to clean my hands with Purell and then eat something. I feel like I'm putting it's just
exactly.
Gross.
I agree with you 100%. I'm down with that, Mark.
Yeah.
It's the first thing we've agreed on. And what time is it?
It's 2:47.
Wow.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Drive safely, everyone.
There you go.
You know, when I came back from France, and the first time I went to a department store here, and there was a bottle of Purell at the entrance, I was like, no, you're kidding. Who uses that? To walk into the department store? To touch the handles of the doors of the department store? What is that there for exactly? I don't even understand that.
They want you to feel safe in their department store by providing you some Purell. That's my take, Laura. But I feel you. I'm anti-Purell. Don't believe in it. Give me some good old-school germs. I will fight them off.
All right. And are you obsessed about anything in this world, in life, in your life, Mark?
I don't think I have a very obsessive personality.
No? How about the obsession to deflect attention off yourself?
I wouldn't.
That's not an obsession. He just does that naturally.
No, I was just reaching. That was a reach. That was like a long reach.
Yeah, no,
I'm not
obsessive about sports, aren't you, Mark?
I wouldn't call myself obsessive about it, Roger. I would say that I probably have a slight obsession with Michael Jordan.
I've had physical contact with Michael Jordan.
Really? Do tell.
Well, in those days when I wasn't an intern, but I was an associate director, Roger. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of sports. I worked a lot of sports during the Jordan, Grant, Pippen era.
Well, you worked for the Bulls, right?
No. I was always freelance. I was doing television production.
Oh.
And mainly working with the visiting feeds.
I see.
Which meant that I worked, the list of announcers I worked with is really interesting and funny. Marv Bite Me Albert, for example.
Yes, well said.
Thank you. Offered to bite me, and I said, I'm likely to... What's the
Marv Albert offered to bite you?
No. I was trying to make a joke, but I couldn't think of George Foreman's name fast enough about biting the ear-biting business.
Did Marv Albert flirt with you?
Yes. I just had to think before, to tell you the truth.
How did he do it? What was the Marv flirting technique?
He tried to get a ride home from the game.
He asked you to drive him home?
Mm-hmm.
It's aggressive.
No, that's not aggressive. Aggressive is a lot further away than asking for a ride home.
I don't know. You're in a car with Marv. That seems aggressive.
No. It's a move toward, but that's not really aggressive?
I don't know. You're the TV guy in town. Take a cab. Asking the female producer for a ride home seems aggressive.
It's a flirt. It's a hit.
Roger, aggressive, non-aggressive.
Bordering on aggressive, but we're calling it from Marv Albert. I could see if it was the popcorn vendor in the stands, that wouldn't be a big hit.
Did you give him a ride?
No. What are you kidding? I want to be alone in a car with Marv Bite Me Albert.
It's right on the edge there.
Biting. That's aggressive.
Yeah.
And that's violent. So something this side of violent maybe is a ride in the car. I don't know. I didn't think it was aggressive, although it did. I didn't do it, so I don't know. Anyway, back to Michael.
Yes, MJ.
I just flashed on this incredible game he used to play in the shoot-around warm-ups. He initiated a game that the camera crew also participated in, because during the shoot-around warm-ups, that's off-air. That's 2.5 hours before game. That, oh, this is going to be so hard to describe. Well, I'm going to try. So they're shooting around. You picture this, dribbling in circles and shooting and warming up, the team. And let's say it's Michael. Would, you know, if you take your index finger, touch it to your thumb like the sign okay.
Uh-huh, got it, doing it.
And take that circle and put it somewhere on your arm.
Okay.
Now, if, and I'm Michael, you see me do that and you stick your finger into the circle on my arm faster than I can move my hand away, you get to punch me.
Ooh.
It's something like that. You know, I wish there was someone listening right now who knows this game who could describe it better than I did, because I never really played it.
I think you did a great job.
Do you?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
So what do you win if they don't do that? Well, whatever you just described.
You get to punch them. See, that's why we need somebody who knows this game.
Yeah, now you're doing a less than stellar job.
It's kind of like a flinch game.
It's a little, it is
it's a definite flinch game. Yeah.
But the thing is that we're talking about when Michael touched me. So I went, I needed to go get him for an interview after the game. So I'm outside the locker room and I'm waiting.
You're waiting to get MJ for an interview.
Yeah. Not to, not for, I'm not going to interview Michael.
But you're going
I'm a production person.
But you're going to grab him for the big interview.
Right. Now the thing is,
was your heart racing? Had to be. It's Michael Jordan.
That's right. And yet, I have to keep this professional external demeanor. Cool.
Right. You're not going to do any Red Skelton, going to put the old finger on the chest move.
Physical contact would not...
right. I got you.
It's Michael Jordan.
Right.
It's not just like the stature of the player. He was really just so handsome.
He was. He is.
He is. I haven't seen him in years, but I've seen photographs. It looks to me like he's gained some weight. But
he has
be
put
that
on
as
some,
it may.
He has put on some pounds. Most of us have.
Speak for yourself.
Ooh, meager. Look at that. Keeping it fit. I like it.
Can I say something about that?
Sure.
We could get into this later, but I used to weigh 186 pounds.
Yeah?
I know something about losing weight and nutrition.
What do you weigh now?
About 123.
Wow.
And I have for a long time.
That's 63 pounds
okay,
less.
Okay, now you deflected. The subject has been changed again.
I deflected.
No, 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 no. I deflected. You're
he was
right.
Interested.
You did.
You stated something that was very interesting, and he thought he'd just kind of go for the moment.
I love the way Roger is like the referee. Does he always
do
this?
Are we in a fight?
No,
not
at all.
Not a fight.
Not
you're,
referee,
you're
but
learning about each other. This is a
he's like the
a
voice
communication.
Of reason. I love that. Does he always play that role?
Depends. Depends.
Depends. Diapers.
Depends.
Are they a sponsor
on
of the
what?
Show?
When I get the privilege, me Mark Harmon, sitting in for Matt Bubala tonight, along with Laura
is
Meager.
Is that Bubala?
No. On 7, but some people do call him that.
I love that.
On 720 WGN, it depends what the situation is on how I will incorporate Roger into the show. Sometimes the show is all about Roger. Sometimes it's not.
Yes, he has deflected to me often.
Right, it depends. Yeah.
Right. It depends what's going on during the day.
There's no one way to do this. Right. So tonight, apparently, we're going voice of God referee look for Roger.
Or arbitrator. Minimum arbitrator, perhaps referee. What do you prefer, Roger? What do you feel?
Innocent bystander.
724 is texting in, by the way.
I don't think that's accurate.
I'm far from innocent. You got that right.
So back to Michael?
No, hang on. 724 texting. Mark Carman needs Purell on his stinking feet. How do you know how my feet smell, sir? That's not very nice.
Let me have one. Let me verify.
You want to smell my feet?
Sure,
no.
Pass a foot.
Not comfortable with that?
I'm coming over there.
No, not
pass
happen.
One or I'm coming over
sit
there.
Sit in your seat.
No,
sit.
I'm coming over there.
No, can't happen. Okay, very, very uncomfortable. Quick timeout. News is coming up. No. She's smelling
there's
my
no
feet.
Smell.
I'm
just saying there's no smell.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm here next to the feet.
I'm very uncomfortable. Officially uncomfortable.
Oh. Why would he be uncomfortable?
720.
I'm a nice person.
WGN.
Am I attractive?
720 WGN. Good morning. 258. I'm Mark Carman. She's Laura Meager.
Yes, I am.
You turn
oops
on your mic. My fault. That's me. 100% me.
The guy with the stinky feet that aren't?
That was, no one's ever smelled my feet in radio, Laura. You've broken new ground.
Twice.
twice.
We haven't even passed an hour.
You went for the, what was the other one?
Texting.
No, you're right. No one's ever texted me right next to the show, too. That's true. So we're off to a rolling start here.
I'm excited.
312-981-7200. That's the phone number.
So I'm outside the locker room.
Yes, with Mike. What happens?
Michael comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Puts his hand on my head.
Wow.
Runs his hand through my hair.
Wow.
And says, "Hey, Red."
Hey, Red?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And I have to be, like, cool because I'm a professional. So I go, "Hey, Michael." But inside, I'm like, "Oh, my God!"
Centimeters, vacillating between 55 and 56 kilos, depending on her access to carbohydrates. Laura Maher!
Oh, thank you, Ray Clay. Thank you for mispronouncing my name. You know, it takes me back to one day Harry Carey was thanking the crew, which he did once every homestand.
All right, hold on a second.
Yes?
First of all, he got your name wrong, but that's okay. You, Ray Clay.
Yes?
Just intro'd this show.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest accomplishments in overnight, Friday night, into Saturday morning, whatever this is, history.
Thank you.
Let it be known that Laura and Shantae drove that, and thank you to Ray Clay for taking
thank
time.
Thank you so much, Ray Clay.
One of the heroes of this city, a man who should never have been let go of his job, but petty differences between the Bulls and Ray forced a breakup that is still felt to this day, although I love Tommy Edwards. He's phenomenal. And Tommy had the job before Ray.
Yeah, but after Ray and before Tommy, there was another gentleman, Mark someone?
Don't know.
Wait, I got a question. Sorry to jump in here.
I love Please. That Ray Clay just did that.
I do too, and I really, really, Ray Clay, we thank you deeply, most heartfeltly.
We do. What's up, Roger?
Did I hear him say from Southern Illinois University?
No, but you did hear him say that I'm a Saluki.
There you go. All right, Carmen, you're on your own.
Are you saying that you're leaving me, Roger, because she's a Saluki and you're going to be loyal to someone just because of where they went to college?
Got to support the dogs.
Yes.
Go dogs.
And it counts.
Badish, you're a newsman. You're a professional. You're paid.
Objectivity just went out the window.
You're paid to be unbiased. Don't go down the rabbit hole of patheticness.
That's right. I got some work to do at the other desk, so you guys are having fun.
Thank you to Ray Clay. Thank you to Laura. Thank you to Shantae. And welcome to your overnight entertainment. It's 3:13. Good morning. I'm Mark Harmon. I've been introduced by Ray Clay. I have nothing left to do in my life. Continue on, Laura, with your questioning of me and my dating life and how I can be better. I'm back on the couch for you.
Okay. Are you comfortable?
Yes. If you're just joining us, Laura's been trying to get me to sign up for a dating website. She is actually signing me up herself.
Yes.
And she's been asking me lots of questions. And that has been the show this evening, and I look forward to answering more.
Okay.
And then twists and turns along the way.
And just now we heard Ray Clay.
For the record, we had 7,000 topics tonight. We're going to get through one, I think. Maybe.
Hey, you want to change the subject?
No.
Is this more deflection? Is this an attempt?
And I've been accused of deflecting 100 times, too. That's on the record.
Have you ever been in love?
Many times.
Many times?
Well, more than once. I guess, how many do you define many? I've had four long-term relationships, Laura. I would consider myself in love for each of those four.
Okay.
Does that work for many for you? Is that not many? Are you
four times in love, and you're in your 40s, I'd call that many.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a high standard for love?
312-981-7200. If you'd call that many, you wouldn't call that many.
How many is many?
Some people have never been in love, and some people live a whole life never being in love. And you say by the age of 40.
I fall in love very easily. I'm a fallen lover. Maybe I use...
You like the experience? You enjoy being in love?
Yes. I have to pause and think about that.
Yeah, well, it's a kind of question that requires thinking about. Do I enjoy being in love? I enjoy the being in love part. It's the part, you know, if it doesn't work, that it can be so awful. That part is really
right, you gotta,
pleasant.
Mm-hmm. But you learn over time.
But you've done it four times.
You learn over time, Laura, that you are a strong Laura. And you can handle whatever comes your way, right?
Help me, Dr. Mark.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, so I opened up my OKC page and saw this. Mark, this is what is inappropriate on a dating website. Not inappropriate, it's unattractive, it's unappealing. I will never answer this man in a million years.
So his picture is of himself with his shirt off. He's a guy that has spent some time in the weight room, has a nice pectoral. What does he say about himself?
Wait, read the message that he sent me. Can you see it? I'll read it if you can't.
Yeah, why don't you read it? Go ahead.
It says, kisses,
Kisses, Now, this is a gentleman that appears to be 31 years old.
Yes. Edmonton, yeah. Canada, 55% match according to OKC. They give these...
And how old are you? Can you answer that question, or is that too personal?
I don't think I'm answering that.
But you are older than this gentleman.
I am definitely older than this gentleman.
By a borderline significant margin. Fair to say?
What do you call significant? Like he could be my son?
Yes. 15 years.
Yes.
Okay. So
he couldn't be my son, maybe, but...
Well, he could.
There's 15 years here.
I mean, he shouldn't be your son, but he could be your son. So, okay.
Okay. What's the best quality that you bring into a woman's life?
The best quality that I bring in. Integrity. You can trust me. You don't believe that at all, do you?
I was just taking it in. I was looking at you the way you said it. You know, we're making real eye contact over this integrity issue. So I'd have to believe you, because I think that's a hard thing to say and look someone directly in the eyes the way you did. So, ladies, I'm giving them a thumbs up on this integrity. What? Oh, so you've been in love, and would you like to be again?
Absolutely.
Is marriage something that is interesting to you, or are you kind of more of the single kind of guy?
Very interested. Highly interested.
You want kids, you want the family,
Yep. Bring it on.
How old are you?
78.
Come on.
43.
And you're ready. Okay, ladies.
Overcooked. Done.
Overcooked and done.
Burnt. But not desperate, damn it.
If you've got questions for Mark, we could maybe think about a kind of a fix-up kind of deal, maybe. I don't know. We'll just 312-981-7200, phone and or text. You know, there are dating websites for absolutely everyone. I mean, are you aware of this? There's seniors. There's married seeking
extramarital relations.
Thanks. LGBT, alphabet soup, queer. The alphabet soup thing makes me crazy. Sometimes I'm freaked that I'm going to say in the wrong order. So I'm going with queer. There's Chinese gay men website. There's an article I read in the newspaper on Vice.com about this Chinese gay man who's now 35. He was a cop. And until, I don't know if everybody, I didn't know, but until 17 years ago, it was
ill. It's a very interesting story. The dude was a cop. Not to cut you off, but I just find it very fascinating. He was a cop. He was a gay man in China where it was very, 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 very much frowned upon.
No, it was illegal until 17 years ago.
Right. And he's ended up like starting a dating website in China that's got 15 million people on it.
Right.
For gay men.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
15 million people worldwide. 12 million worldwide and 12 million in China.
That's incredible.
I know.
Truly incredible.
Good for him.
Of the stories you sent me this week, that one was like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. Hey, let's take some calls here. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. We've talked a lot of dating tonight. We've got people concerned, people upset. They want to know what's going on in the dating world. Noel, thank you so much for calling. Welcome to WGN so I can deflect attention off myself. What's up, Noel?
Good morning. This is the second time I've heard you, Mark, overnight. I enjoy it. I'm premature gray like yourself. So, hey.
Thank you, Noel.
Yeah, absolutely. Life goes on. I'm enjoying this conversation. When I was 21, I'm a leatherneck. And, you know, it's...
Oh, no. I just messed up. Noel, call back. I'm sorry.
Oh, Mark, for God's sake. What are you drinking in that cup?
Tea.
I'm smelling it.
I made a mistake there. That was a mistake. Noel, call back.
It is tea.
Yes, it's only tea. I apologize, Noel. I want to get... Whenever Noel is back, we'll go to him. That was my fault. I haven't done that in a minute.
I make you nervous, don't I, Mark?
Nah, I don't think that's it.
I was trying to get you an out.
I don't need outs. I will... When I make a mistake, Laura, as I brought up integrity a second ago, I will admit to... My faults in
life.
You're
a big man, Mark.
Well, thank you.
As far as I know.
Whoa.
Okay, so there are Jewish websites, Latino. The segregation out there, it's tribal, for God's sake. Some are relationship-driven. Some are sexual encounter-driven. The thing is, I think it's really important to know the site you've decided to put your photograph and personal information on before you do that. And there's plenty of research. It's really easy to find out what the site's focus is, if they're safe, they're dangerous. There's a lot of news articles out there. Inform yourself before you get exposed.
Thank you for that. It's a good, very good point. Hey, let's get Noel back in here.
Cool.
Hi, Noel. Sorry about that, Noel.
No worries. So I was 21. I'm a leatherneck, so it rivals Carbondale with having a good time at a young age. But no women down there, unfortunately. Sorry, I could bring home to my mom. I was in a deep relationship. It ended, so I turned to online dating more so because though I'm a broadcaster, I'm a shy guy. And I wanted to do online dating just so I can build some confidence. Went on a date with one gal. Okay. I was an intern at Channel 7. I come back from a Cubs Sox game. I check my email, and I get a message from what came to be my fiance through a site, OkCupid. We were dating. We chatted for a couple of days. We met. I even took her to the Channel 7 studios, try to get some cool points. I don't know if it worked or not. I guess it did because, hey, we're married now. We're going to get married in May. And I personally, I think online dating is good through if you take the time and actually answer the questions thoroughly and have a good profile through the algorithms like OkCupid, it can match you with other women or other men, whatever, per se. You can lie in those, but once you have that face-to-face interaction, the person can tell right away whatever you put on your profile, whether it's real or not.
So, hold,
and like you're,
Hold, just bottom lining this, Noel, you are calling in right now to let us know, to be honest in your online dating, and things can turn out well for you. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. It happened for me. My fiance even told me one of the reasons she messaged me was because I was thorough, honest with the way I answered the questions and
let me just
introduce myself.
I just like to jump in there too, Noel, to tell you that it's so obvious to me when people are dishonest on the site.
Absolutely.
Because
even when it comes down to the pictures, I mean, even to the smallest T, like the pictures, the first date I ever went on, I mean, the picture was completely different to what I saw. It's not being judgmental. It was just that smallest thing. I'm like, oh, in my head, I thought, well, why didn't you just have your regular picture? I had my regular picture, and I have a face for radio.
And you go on some of these people's pages, they put pictures of themselves from like 20 years ago. They have a picture of themselves in the present, but then there's a picture of the, like, here I was when I was 15. What is that supposed to mean? Like, here's what you missed when I was 15 years old? What's the point? I don't understand that.
Well, I think it's fun if you have like a little cute picture of when you were little that maybe is just thrown in there as a thing.
No, it's irrelevant. Maybe if, you know, as a little kid.
When I was, it was a little picture as a kid, like with Michael Jordan, would that be okay?
Yeah, that's different. That's like, you know, I had this really fun experience. Here was a moment in my life. I'm talking about these guys like are showing, here I am I was in great shape when I was 24 and water skiing.
And they have a beer belly.
Right. Or,
yeah, Mark, be truthful if you want. It sounds like you really want a relationship and a family. And, you know, you said you're a good, charming man. You love tennis.
He's adorable. He's got a great smile.
You're on the radio in the third largest market. I mean, I guarantee you, Mark, if you take the time and you're thorough, hey, you may have
people seem to think you need dating advice, Mark.
Thank you, Noel. I appreciate you.
And Noel,
I enjoy your show. Yes,
thank you so much.
I've taken 5 pictures of. Not only have I been texting him, I've taken 5 photographs of him. He's not even aware of to put on the site.
Feels kind of terrifying, doesn't it, Noel?
I'm stalking him at this point.
You're a man on the radio in Chicago. I mean, who wouldn't want to date someone who works on radio in Chicago?
Well, I might not.
Thanks, Noel.
Yeah. Take care. Enjoy the show.
Appreciate
it. Noel.
Very good perspective by Noel, who I hung up on. Apologize for that. 312-981-7200. I don't think that anyone's actually impressed by a dude that's on the radio. What hours do you work? Yeah, I'll be doing the overnight shift this week, and then I'm going to be back at it on Saturday, and then I'm going to be back at it on Sunday.
No, it doesn't matter what the hours are. It's the fact that you're on radio. It is impressive to a certain genre of people.
Certain genre.
Not me, but... So, about this number of different websites for dating,
mm-hmm.
Just when you thought there was a dating app for every demographic, orangutans have one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that story?
I sure did. I love it. They're throwing pictures in front of an orangutan and saying, pick this one, pick that one, yes or no.
Swipe right. They're teaching them how to swipe right to indicate that they like the photo.
Kind of terrifying. But a true story, apparently. Tinder for orangutans. Zoo starts app to help apes find love. That's a headline.
This program is developed to start increasing breeding success among apes.
After seeing the photos, the monkeys have to push a button on the screen, the park said in a statement. In this way, we can measure their capacity for reaction. During the 4-year experiment, the zoo will show Samboja, who's an 11-year-old female orangutan, photos on a tablet of possible suitors for an international breeding program.
So much.
Is that a real story?
That's a real story. And
that can't be a real story.
The importance of your photo...
Shantae, you wrote this yourself. I know you did.
No, she didn't. I saw it online. So keeping the importance of your photo choice in the forefront of your mind, Mark...
Yeah?
Let us create your profile.
1 second. Let's get Mike in here. 312-981-7200. Mike, welcome to 720 WGN.
What's going on, man?
What's up, Mike?
You know, I'm listening to the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, she's got a thing for you, man.
You think so?
Very flirty with you. Oh, yes.
I thought that was our secret, Mike.
No, no.
I'll never trust you again.
No. Hey, Carmen, I'm telling you, man.
Busts me in front of the entire city.
She looks at you. I'm telling you, man, she's flirty. She act like she don't have a thing for you, but she do. She's flirty, man. I see this all the time.
Thanks, Mike.
He sees it all the time. We never even met. Mike, what do you mean you see it all the time?
Mike, what should I do? How should I handle this, Mike?
Never. Okay, so you never met, but still. I can tell how you talk to him. If it's just, I don't know if you're joking or not, but you come off very flirty with him.
Give me an example. When was I flirty?
You got in his space. You wanted to smell his feet. You know, you talked about you don't know how big, but you don't know right now. You know, just flirty stuff you say. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know.
Mike, how's the show? You enjoying it?
Oh, man, it's way out, man.
Are you uncomfortable? Who's more uncomfortable, Mac, me or you?
I think I was.
Then my job here is finished.
Mike, appreciate you.
Thank all you right, very man. Much, Mike.
I need more life advice from you. Let's have lunch. Thanks, Mike. 312-981-7200. One more. Maury. What's up, Maury?
Hey, Mike.
Welcome to WGN, Maury. It's Mark and Laura. Welcome.
Mark and Laura.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, show's going great.
Thanks.
And Mark, she asked how many times you've been in love. You mm-hmm. said four.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but if we count infatuations,
because
men get those, but we know it's not love.
Sometimes we do. Go ahead. Yep.
Where would that number be then?
With infatuations?
With infatuations.
That'd probably be infinity there, Maury.
Yeah, but women don't understand this.
They don't?
Because, they don't have that, not that they can't discern, but they're always, they're more...
I think that we love to be in love, and we're looking for signs that the man is in love. Even if those signs aren't there, we're going to paint those signs onto the man because we want to be in love and we want that man in love with us.
Is that projection?
Yeah, completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a good point. And she's right. And I think sometimes when we men are infatuating, women think we're in love.
Mm.
That's right.
Maury, are you infatuated with anyone right now?
Yeah.
Who are you infatuated with?
I got a special
with?
Lady.
Do you really?
I got a special lady, yeah.
Is she there with you now?
No, because I'm talking on the radio in another room.
Oh.
But she's here. She's here. She's asleep.
You hide your radio habits from this lady?
We went out and she had a few.
Good job, Maury. Did you go to dinner or you just have a few?
Went to dinner, a new place in Logan Square.
Oh, yeah? Where at?
Right on California, just south of Logan.
Uh-huh.
It used to be Leticia's Bakery.
Uh-huh.
And it's a wonderful Mexican restaurant. Very interesting food, very interesting tequilas and mezcal. Their cocktails are tequila and mezcal based.
Mm-hmm.
The food was very pretty and very tasty.
And what about this lady? I'm more interested in the lady than the food. She's asleep in another room, and you're talking to people on the radio. No.
Is that wrong?
But yeah. You two are...
Are you judging Maury?
Maybe. I have no problem with being judgmental. We're all judgmental.
That's true.
That describes most of your listeners.
But, I think Maury is... She's asleep, and Maury's up, but he's listening to the radio. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
I was just curious about it. How long have you two been together?
5-6 years.
That's and how did you meet?
Through I was a fireman and
you rescued her.
No, not nothing that melodramatic.
Oh.
But I met her through another fireman's wife.
Ooh.
No, she didn't used to be the fireman's wife.
I got it. I got it.
Cousin.
I got
okay.
it.
Her cousin was married to a fellow firefighter.
So you got the setup. You got full on street cred. Maury's a good dude. She's a good dude. You two should go out. Next thing you know, you're having Mexican food on California and Logan Square, and she's asleep, and you're calling WGN just like that, Maury.
Like it was destined.
You know, I'm curious to hear from the ladies out there. In general, do we ladies find a radio broadcaster more sexy or a fireman?
Ooh, good question. 312-981-7200. Radio broadcaster or fireman? Maury, I'm going with you.
Okay, for the men out there as well, then. Do the men out there find the radio broadcaster or fireman more sexy?
What's that, Maury?
I'm going to talk in this voice, then.
It's a little Barry White-ish.
You don't have to change anything, Maury. You're doing it right. You're the one that's going out and having Mexican food and living the dream. Hey, Maury, thanks for calling, man.
Fun talking to you.
Good to have you.
Thanks, Maury.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Maury.
That was Maury. I wish, in the back of my mind, I can hear Barry White kind of music for some reason. Maury's voice reminded me of Barry White. It's kind of that deep, resonant bass.
Maury's a good dude. 3:35 with your 3:30 news. Man who never needed a dating app in his life just was reeling in the women, just walking down the street. Ain't that right? Here he is, Roger Badish.
Now, let's just say I found the one 41 years ago and didn't need to look any further.
Oh, sweet.
That's adorable.
I'll do the news.
Thank you. Okay. News now with Roger Badish, 41 years ago. On a fateful, wintry night, he walked into... Where do you walk into, Laura?
Take a guess.
The map room.
Walked in.
No, I didn't walk in the map room.
You walked in.
And it was a summer day.
Ed DeBevick's.
No, it was in Bloomington Normal.
McDonald's.
No.
Wendy's.
Nah, think a little more.
McDonald's on the
slightly higher scale. Slightly higher scale. Ponderosa.
Ponderosa. There it is. He walked into Ponderosa and he said... I'll take the buffet, so will she.
And the meat, medium rare.
And we're going to eat until our heart's content at Ponderosa for $3.99.
And then we're going to go home.
And then we're going to go home.
And we're going to eat some more.
Ponderosa. An amazing steak. Succulent.
Juicy.
Cooked perfect every time.
Potatoes.
Ponderosa.
Baked.
Sour cream.
Butter.
Salt. Meatloaf. Delicious desserts. Baked fresh. Last week. Ponderosa.
Ponderosa.
Your gateway.
To meat.
41 years old.
Sunday at Ponderosa, you can have a different one every day of the week.
Ponderosa.
Wow.
Ponderosa.
Did it take you back to the Sunday bar, Roger?
Yeah, well, I went in for the lunch special at the time. And I was the only one in there, too, at the time, except for... my future wife and another waitress.
Your wife was a waitress at the Ponderosa. That's an important detail.
Bridget.
Bridget, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there, salesman Roger, going Ponderosa lunch.
Taking a little lunch break, right? Trying to figure out my next sales call, yeah.
And then Bridget walks up and you're like, who are you?
Well, I can't remember exactly. I probably used my old line.
The old line.
The old line.
The old line.
She walks up.
She walks up.
Stars in her eyes.
Stars in her eyes.
Of course. I have that every time I see you in the newsroom.
God. And she says, what would you like to have? And I said, well, I'd like to have some food.
You didn't say I'd like to have you.
No.
I'd okay. like, so to, I'd have like to have some food. Food. I would have.
Well, you're in a restaurant. That's what I always say. And she kind of giggled.
Old school.
Yeah, very old school.
Okay.
Yeah.
She giggled.
So she went for the food line.
No. It was there was no food line at that time. I just ordered regular meal.
Right, no, but I'm saying that she went for your food line.
She thought
that was funny.
Yeah, doesn't anymore, but... Yeah.
She stopped cooking 20 years ago.
And then about 2 days later, I came back in for lunch and...
2 days?
What?
Did you come back intentionally? Did you come back intentionally to see her?
Intentionally, yeah.
Wow, right.
And she was not in the front of the house, as they say. There was another waitress. And I've told this story a thousand of times. So, but I sat down, and that waitress then walked quickly back into the kitchen where, at that time, unbeknownst to me, was Bridget. And I heard some talking and suddenly heard a scream.
He's here.
Yep. And she came running out.
All cool and calm, as if they hadn't been, like, fixing her hair and putting on her lipstick.
I have no idea what she was doing.
I promise you.
She came out and said hi, and we started talking some more, and I asked her for a date, and I think we dated about maybe 2-3 days later. We went out on a date.
Wow. Did you go to Ponderosa?
No.
That's amazing. No.
Where'd you take her?
Probably took her to a bar.
Class
maybe
move.
Dancing.
Love it.
Dancing. You dance,
well,
Roger?
It was, not anymore if I can help it.
Oh.
No, I, please. Back in the day when I had my moves... Back when I was as young as Mark Carman is,
yes,
I had the moves.
I bet you did, Ben.
And we were doing Saturday Night Fever. We were doing
disco
at the time. Yeah, this was back.
This
was 76.
Did you tell me before that when you met your wife, it was at Ponderosa, and I just glossed over it? Because if I did, that's just terrible.
Yeah, that was a long... Yeah, you and I talked about that a long time ago.
I remember you talking about meeting your wife, and she was a waitress, but I don't think you mentioned Ponderosa.
Why are you so hung up on the fact that it's Ponderosa?
Because no one has ever eaten at Ponderosa.
Well, that probably explains why I was the only one in the restaurant.
Exactly. No restaurant lasted longer than with no business than Ponderosa.
I know, yeah.
Roger, do you know the origin of that name? Why they named the restaurant Ponderosa?
You know the origin of Ponderosa?
Well, I think I do. Roger, do you?
Well, yeah. After the TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bonanza. Well,
Bonanza, yeah.
Bonanza, Ponderosa.
Because that was the name of the spread. It's the Ponderosa.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bonanza.
And there was Michael Landon.
And there's actually lyrics to that, and they sang it one day, at one episode.
Do you happen to know them?
No, I don't.
There was a guy, and he had some sons at the Ponderosa. They ate steak, and they ate potatoes, too.
That's Martha.
Bridget came to their table.
I don't know. Do you get this text? I'll have the sheep herder special, a large glass of milk.
I think I just went straight for the steak.
All right. Well, again, yeah. Roger, congratulations. Hey, Ponderosa.
Yeah. Thanks, Ponderosa. In honor of that, but by coincidence, on my Caesar salad tonight, I had nice skirt steak, broiled skirt steak.
Yummy.
Did Bridget make it?
Nope, I made it.
You made it yourself.
I love cooking.
Caesar salad with skirt steak. Yep. Yummy.
Yum, yum. In my play-by-play days at St. Edward's University, Austin, Texas, Division II, greatest time of my life, we would eat on the road, and sometimes we would go high caliber, maybe like a Ruby Tuesdays. But other times we would go to, say, Golden Corral. And
the
first time we pulled up to that Golden Corral, I'm like, this is complete and utter malarkey. I'm not eating at this sloth Golden Corral. And then I went into the Golden Corral and went nuts. I loved it. It was delicious.
I'm unfamiliar
great
with
food.
Golden Corral.
Oh, great food.
Well, let's not go crazy with great. But edible food.
Yeah.
Huge. I mean, they've, you know, seven different serving stations. You got the salad bar, you got the ribs that are terrible, but the chicken's decent, the fish is kind of awkward, but then you have a huge dessert tray.
You know, I don't eat like that at all.
Right. It's all you
can eat, tremendous amounts of food that has been sitting there for hours, and it costs $5, but people love that.
Right. You just go hang out.
Great value.
But you eat, and it's all bad food, and you feel miserable after being.
Yeah, and then you get on the bus, and you ride another 7 hours to the game.
All right, let me ask you now. Here's a trivia question.
Yeah.
Other than the Ponderosa, what was the other steak restaurant at that time?
Well, that would be for you, Laura.
Why for me, Mark? Because you don't know the answer?
You two are older.
Oh.
What letter does it start with?
B.
Sizzler.
Bonanza.
Perfect. He got it.
Oh, really? There was a Bonanza?
There was a Bonanza.
But there was a Sizzler.
There was also Sizzler, yeah.
Sizzler.
Sizzler.
You know what was a great pairing? When Long John Silver's paired up with A&W Root Beer. You ever had the burger at the A&W?
You eat a lot of really bad food. A&W's
had some great burgers.
You know, in the Ray Clay intro, you said you wanted to lose 9 pounds.
Yeah,
you need to stay away from all these restaurants.
What did you have for lunch?
About 10 minutes ago.
Hold on, Meager.
You asked somebody to go out and get you 2 burgers from McDonald's.
Well, I knew that Brett Jackson wasn't going to do that.
That 9 pounds is never getting off that body.
Okay.
First
of all, I weighed myself today 174, so we're halfway there, Laura.
Well, congratulations. How did you do that?
By eating well and exercising more. And do you know what I had for lunch today? Would you care
to tell me? I would like to know.
I had a V8 vegetable drink. It cost me like $17 at one of those juice places. But like all vegetables all the time.
Wonderful.
Yes. And I added on because I was feeling a little... The throat was a little scratchy, and I wanted to be on my A game for you tonight. I had a little chicken noodle soup. So I thought that was a pretty good lunch.
How salty was that soup?
Pretty salty.
Well, that's a problem.
But I don't eat a lot of sodium, so I think it's okay every now and then. And then for breakfast, I had the veggie egg sandwich. It was a very healthy.
Where? Who made that for you?
I was at a coffee bar.
Ew. You know what? It's slathered with something that's... Not butter. Butter would be better for you, but they slather it with some kind of imitation, greasy, oily something that's mainly chemicals.
It had like goat cheese and...
Goat cheese is good.
Yeah, and vegetables and an egg.
But it's cooked in something in the pan, which is not butter. They'll use something else because there's all this...
I prefer butter over pan. I'm with you.
Absolutely. Uh-oh. This just in. 312-981-7200.
Yeah.
What have you got?
Oh, you're seeing that I'm noticing the text line. The 815 texting, going to the corral tonight. Yum, yum. When you walk into the corral, man, you gotta settle down. Unbutton the pants and let's go.
Oh, God.
That's what it is.
What an image.
Here we go. I'm corralling it.
I just sit down and unbutton them and say, start shoveling the food down my throat. Pretend it's foie gras time here.
That's right, baby.
Ugh.
708 did text in Bonanza and Sizzler. That's apparently a thing. The old Bonanza and Sizzler. Ryan's is a decent that realm of food option.
Ryan's?
Yes. You ever heard of a Ryan's?
O'Ryan's?
No, just Ryan's.
No.
Anybody do a Ryan's? Ryan's is the same thing as Golden Corral. I think Ryan's actually might be better. But, yeah, I don't do that normally. We used to go to an old country buffet, the Carmen family. And when I say the Carmen family, that would be me and my dad. And
you and your dad are pretty tight.
Pop's
did you tell me earlier you're wearing your dad's pants?
Yeah, that was a lie. I mean, I thought you understood that I actually wasn't.
Was that an attempt at flirtation? Like, I would be attracted to you because you're wearing your dad's pants?
No.
Now he's looking at me with a scrunchy face. Why would you even think I would be flirting with you, Laura?
No, I wasn't saying it from that side. I flirting would be possible, but why would I flirt that I'm wearing my dad's pants?
I don't know. I just said it. Things come to my mind and I say them. I'm rather uncensored and it's embarrassing. Please don't point at it again.
630 Old Country Buffet was the best. 708 Ryan is the same company as the Old Country Buffet. I didn't know that. Golden Corral is doing weekends. I don't know what that means, the doing weekends thing. People love a nice buffet. Do you ever go to the Chinese buffet, little Chinese buffet?
No, listen, I just gave you the spiel about how I don't eat like that.
What do you eat? What'd you have for breakfast? Tell me your story. I want to know right now. It's fascinating radio. Laura Meager's breakfast.
Oh, that's right. Make fun of me.
How am I making fun of you? I'm making fun of me. I'm asking you the question. What did you have for breakfast today?
I had 2 eggs. I used olive oil in the pan.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, a piece of rye bread, and there was butter on the rye bread.
Do you cook?
I had coffee, and the way I make coffee is really important to me.
You do the pour over?
The thing is, I have one very large cup of coffee in the morning, and the chemical mix is delicate. It has to be just right. So if I go to a restaurant and they pour coffee for me and I get the chemical mix just right the way I like it, and I happen to not be paying attention when the server comes around and adds coffee, I'm like, oh, man, did just ruins the meal.
So you get regular restaurant coffee? Is that what you're saying?
When I'm in a restaurant.
Oh, okay. You don't make it at home?
Yeah, sure.
Well, what do you use? What method?
Okay, at home.
French press?
I've been known to.
Known by...
From time to time, if you must know, I have French pressed.
Well, I'm just asking.
I admit that. But generally, it's...
K-cup?
You know, it's a coffee maker, Mr. Coffee. Put the filter in, put the grounds in, put the water in, turn it on. Well, plug it in, turn it on.
The old standard.
What's your favorite coffee brand?
Well, currently it's standard stuff because I just got back here a couple of months ago. So I'm still sort of on the search for exactly what I want.
You right like now, the it's like darker roast or
no,
a light
I actually
roast.
Do not like Laura, the roasted flavor.
Laura, are you aware that Golden Corral this weekend is doing the prime rib?
Ooh.
God, would you stop with the junk food?
Wait a minute, is this special? What do you get with
He's
it?
He's taking Bridget. Honey, we can relive the moment. And there's a dance band.
I don't know about that.
Prime rib weekend, Badish.
Yeah, I'm there, baby.
Dial up Bridget. Get her out. Let's go.
I got some extra notches on my belt.
Oh, they sit down. They open the pants.
All right. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, 1 hour to go here on the maiden voyage of Laura Meagher on 720 WGN.
The seconds are just flying by.
We're only 1 hour to go. We have a very...
Mark is praying. He's hanging on by his fingernails on the edge of the desk.
I got to survive one more hour, and then we'll see where we're at here. So... There is a...
We still haven't created your page, Mark.
We still haven't. And there's a very interesting thing going on.
Just getting it started.
Okay, there you go. Very interesting thing going on at an establishment that involves the cell phone and how we are connecting to each other and how we can do better. WGN. Good morning. I'm Mark Carman. She's Laura Meagher.
I am.
We are with you for another 51 minutes. Matt Bubala has the evening off as we sit in for Matt tonight. I'm actually back today for the beat at 3 o'clock with Harry Tynowitz as we get you ready for your Super Bowl. And a lot going on in the Chicago sports world as well, which I know you wanted to talk about tonight, Laura, but I figured I'd spare you on that part of the world, and we would just connect, me and you, and talk dating life. And now...
I have a completely different question for you, Mark.
Please.
I need to clear my throat. There was gargling gone wrong. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Mark...
Yes, Laura.
Would you mind sharing with our listening audience what it is you do as soon as we hit the break?
As soon as we hit the break? You're saying take my headphones off? Is that what we're talking about?
That would be the... Yeah, that's the first thing. What's the second thing?
I don't know.
You grab your cell phone.
Yeah, I gotta go to the phone.
And I feel abandoned.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. You know, cell phones seem to have a lot of power in our world.
I love my phone. I want to get off the radio right now.
And I'm gone. I feel like I'm not here. Like, we're in a break and I could chat with you, but you're in the cell phone with someone else and I feel jealous. I feel abandoned. I've got issues.
Well, hold on a second here, Laura.
Yes.
I mean, you're absolutely correct. You are gone, and you're in the room, but you're not. I'm not with you.
That's
I'm 100%
right.
with the phone. That's what you're naming is true.
Yes, and that's kind of the subject for the next subject we're about to take up, isn't it? How cell phones, the role they're playing in our lives, isn't that what we're planning to talk about?
Yes.
So I didn't bring it up to embarrass you personally.
I don't feel embarrassed.
Oh, that's good. But it is true that the cell phone thing, it's like so omnipresent.
It is.
People light up their cell phones in dark theaters. How is that okay? Like, it's dark, we're watching the movie, you're interested, you're connected to the story, and someone lights up their cell phone. Does that distract you personally?
Yes. But you know what's more distracting in the theater?
Hmm.
When people just... actually have a conversation
Oh, yeah, I hate that, too.
That's a real problem. A light over to the left of me, to the right of me, not ideal, but I can deal with it. Oh. Having a conversation, that's a little tougher. But, yes, I hear what you're saying. I'm with you.
So there are so many instances of use of cell phone that I want to just rip the phone out of the person's hand and smash it.
Is that what you wanted to do with me?
No, not at all. I didn't feel nearly that aggressive.
Okay, good.
But, I mean, sometimes with moms and their babies or their young children, they're pushing a child in the carriage and they're on their cell phone. And the child in the carriage is going, Mommy, 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 Mommy. And Mommy's not there. Mommy's in the cell phone. And I'm so annoyed, but I'm just disturbed by that. I'm like, I want to ask them, why did you have a child?
Did you not get enough attention from your own mother?
Oh, I got plenty.
Okay.
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
Or worse, women who are pushing.
I'll go deep at 412 here, Laura. Just know that I'll ask a question like that. If you're talking about mom attention there, I think it's interesting, moms that don't give attention to their kids, and it's very, I believe it can have, I guess, a negative effect on a child, right? Child needs attention from the mom. Go ahead.
Sure. I mean, absolutely.
Right.
And the sight of a mom pushing a stroller into the street while talking on the cell phone, I'm off the chart with. I can't even look. I have to look away because I'm afraid I'll react. I'll say something.
What would you want to say?
I can't even use the words on the air.
What would you say nicely?
I would like to say, not using those words,
mm-hmm.
You're endangering the life of your child. Mm-hmm. You don't have the right to be a mother or father. You're pushing the child in front of you into traffic while you're not into traffic. Hopefully there's no traffic. But there could be some idiot who comes along not paying attention to a light. And who's going to get hit is not the parent on the cell phone because they've got the carriage in front of them.
Well, they might both get, there's a lot of.
I mean, it's awful. The sight of it is just, it really makes me crazy, and I have to look away.
I don't know if I've actually seen that. Well, not saying that it doesn't happen.
It does. I've seen it many times.
Yeah.
I feel taken hostage on public transportation by people having to talk on their cell phone. I don't want to hear it. It's a private conversation. I don't want to know about their life. Or at the grocery store, at the checkout counter, waiting for someone, taking too long to check out because they're not giving their attention to the process that we're all in line to do.
You know what I do?
Hmm.
And you would find this extremely rude, and it's rude.
You go straight to your cell phone when we have the break to commercial?
Yeah, you mentioned that one already, so you know about that one. But what I'll also do, like last night per se,
mm-hmm.
I'm coming home. I'm on the phone. Phone conversation's not over. I'm picking up food. So I walk into the restaurant. I go up. I'm on my phone. Hang on one second. And then I'm paying and doing the transaction all while I'm on my phone. I don't stop the conversation.
So the person is just a machine for you. The person who's doing this, the human being doing
right.
the transaction doesn't exist for you.
Very little.
Wow.
Is that wrong?
Yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
Would you classify as terrible? How wrong is it? Scale of 1 to 10.
You know, if I put myself in the role of the person behind the cash register and I spent my day like that,
yeah,
I'd feel so bad about myself, like so insignificant.
Why would you let that have anything to do with you? That's got nothing to do with you. Like that dude's just
busy. My day. I'm standing with human beings passing in front of me as if I'm just part of the scenery, and I'm not a human being. I want to be related to as a human being, because I am one.
Well, no one's saying you're not a human being. I'm just on the phone. I'm busy.
Well.
But you're saying, whatever, that's how you would feel, bottom line.
Just how I go out in the world. I tend to say hello to people.
So do I, but not all the time. So now I'm on the phone. Can't talk to you. Sorry.
Yeah, I got the picture.
It's wrong, though, isn't it?
Well, not for you.
Well, I know I do feel the guilt. I try to be nice. Well, I'm sorry. I'm on the phone.
Really?
I'm sorry.
But you're not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
You feel that kind of obligatory. If I say I'm sorry, then I'm excused. But it's not a sincere apology.
Yeah.
Well, why even bother?
No, it's a fleeting attempt at slight approval.
Well, do you feel approved of at that point?
Not really, no.
No, so that doesn't work.
312-981-7200.
So there's this pub in London.
Mm-hmm.
Where the owner decided to put up metal cage-like structure around the interior of the pub, which blocks cell phone signal activity.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Because he felt like he was losing business because a pub, the whole idea in the beginning of a bar, pub, cafe, hang out and be with people and have a drink and talk and share, blah, blah, blah. And he made that decision and business is up. People can't get in. The door, it's so packed. And there's a sign on the outside of the pub that says, there is no Wi-Fi signal in this pub.
Yeah. Going old school.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I love that.
So do I. Absolutely.
So when you go out, is your cell phone out with you when you're out with your friends? Are you on your phone or is it away or is it in and out? I mean, is that part of your evening when you're out socially?
Most times it's out, yes.
It's just part of your world. It's part of everybody's world.
Yep.
Not mine. Can I tell you something? Going back to the date match sites.
Yeah, your phone's been out all night.
Taking your picture.
Okay.
Preparing for the website.
You haven't. Hold on a second. You've gotten text.
I texted you.
You've gotten text tonight.
No.
You have not.
Oh, I got one.
Right.
One friend. Wanted to say it was going well.
For the record, I know that you're a gazillion times better at this than I am as far as being present and not on your phone. I grant you that. But I also want to name that you do have it out. It's hard
but
to...
What was I doing with it? I was taking your picture.
Doesn't matter. It's always out. It's always there.
But that was part of this evening's show was about creating a website.
Everyone is addicted. You're not addicted?
No, absolutely. You know what?
What's the first thing you do when you wake up? How long after you wake up are you on your phone?
I'm not on my phone, but I do go to my computer. I want to know the temperature. I want to know my horoscope. I want to know email. But pretty quick, I'm making that cup of coffee.
Okay.
That first cup of coffee.
I mean, before I'm out of bed, generally, I've already been on Facebook and Twitter and... I'm even out of bed.
Before you're even out of bed.
Yep. It's true.
When's the last time you spent a day without your cell phone?
Never.
Never. Oh, see, I do
that. I mean...
Do you never leave the house without it?
If I go on vacation, if I'm in, say, whatever, put me in Mexico. God, I'd love to go to Mexico. I'll turn it off. I'll put it in and done.
But you'll take it with you.
Yeah, but that's more so, to call on the way out and then when I arrive back. If I'm out of the country, something like that, it's done. Not engaging. And I love it. I love being off the grid. I was off the grid today, like you guys, you were sending...
For how long?
A long time. I got to the gym today a long time for me on a day where I'm doing an overnight show, I guess. I was off the grid from, say, 10 until 4 today.
That's 6 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty decent time off the grid.
Especially on a day that you're working.
Right. And then I get back to it and there's all of it.
That's true.
But I was totally off the grid. I'm hooping and I'm having lunch and I'm my phone is charging elsewhere. I don't have it.
Well, that thing?
Yeah.
France passed a law on January 1st of 2017.
Yeah.
Some companies, under certain circumstances, numbers of employees, et cetera, things like that, protect their employees from having to deal with email after hours.
Yeah, I like that. I like
do
that
too,
idea.
But I don't think it would fly in this country.
Absolutely not. No chance. 312-981-7200. Let's talk about the phone. What's up, Patrick? Welcome to WGN.
You guys have hit so many topics. Come on. People, 20 years ago,
yeah.
Who were, once they were off, at 5 o'clock, who was working and answering phone calls and doing service stuff? There's a lot of guys that are doing the plumbing, heating, and air conditioning that back in the day, 20 years ago, you know, we worked from 7 o'clock to 3:30, whatever. We were done. Nowadays, your shift, you're going to work a 24-hour. You're the guy on call.
Yep.
You know, and you're not getting paid but squirt for a couple hours because you might get a call. You might not. We'll give you 25, 30 bucks an hour, you know, whatever, not even an hour. But we'll throw you a little bit of a bone. I mean, everything is just crazy as far as 20 years ago, what happened.
Hey, Patrick, bottom line, what do you want to get out of this call? What do you want people to know? What's your thought?
Excellent question, Mark.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, let's give me two of your last five topics.
We haven't had five tonight, frankly.
Well, we're just talking phones, Patrick. What do you, your life is worse because of the phone? How often are you on your phone? What do you want us to know about you and this phone thing?
Well, again, the phone thing, everybody's different. I own my own heating and air conditioning company. Uh-huh. I have to look at my phone first thing in the morning for I have different companies that have me on call. You know, I have to look. Do I have a service call?
Right.
First thing in the morning, you know, on Facebook, I have accounts that, you know, a customer recommended me to so-and-so, and then I get the messenger part where, because I purposely do not, I'm not a guy that advertises my company.
Yeah.
I don't want you. If you don't know somebody I know, I don't want you. I'm not here to haggle and finagle. I'm here to help you out, get you your heat, get you your AC. I don't want to, you know, bargain. I'm very fair on my prices. I'm not Four Seasons. I'm Patrick's HVAC. If you want.
But you don't advertise.
Patrick, you're the man. I appreciate you.
Thanks for the call, Patrick.
Love you much. Linda, let's get you in here. 312-981-7200.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Linda.
My pet peeve is people with the phones all the time. Mm-hmm. What would they do when I was growing up? I remember there was 2- and 3-party line. And if you had a phone and the neighbors knew it, they would ask you, hey, I have somebody sick in the family. Is it okay if they call you so you can get me and I can get the message and go to the hospital or whatever it is? And because I was ill always as a child, my mother was able to get a private line. Everybody wanted to know how she did it. And you had one phone in the house, and mom or dad answered that phone. You didn't answer the phone.
There was
nobody around. But what's getting me is when I'm on the street, and like the young lady said, these people are on their phone. They're not paying attention to what's going on.
They're not.
They're walking out in the street and everything like that. I have one because I worked for a while, and I had to go 15 miles with nothing in between, and it was a dark road. That was for emergencies. It still is. Not everybody has that number. My kids have it, but that's it. And I always have to worry about, I forget to charge it.
Yeah, I got you, Linda. All right, fair enough. 312-981-7200. Thanks for jumping in here.
E. Konkolich, do you see that? What the pub owner installed in London is called a Faraday cage. That's right. And it halts all sorts of radio signals. It's basically a wire mesh. I think it was developed during World War II, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Whatever he's doing, he's stopping signals in his pub, so people will come to his pub and they'll actually talk to each other in the pub, which is a beautiful thing. Let's get Donald in here. Donald, welcome to 720 WGN. We all hate the phone, but we all use it. Go ahead.
You know, like I saw in the screener, I agree with her because, you know, as much as I love technology and the advances that we've made in it, it's unadvanced the family, it's unadvanced communication, it's unadvanced the whole atmosphere of out in public, you know, like say at home. And, you know, I've established a couple of rules with my kids. One, they don't go to bed with their phones. It's plugged outside, away from the room, charging off. Also, I don't allow it at my dinner table. I will bring my phone with me, and every once in a while when I am out and about, I'll break it out. But it's very, very seldom. And then also, if you got alerts or notifications, put it on vibrate or something, because you know what? It's all about everybody in my house, is their own sound space. I don't want to be listening to somebody jamming to something if somebody else is playing a game and all of these different noises. So it's all about, you know, your own space.
I like
technology, but I hate the advancement that, or the de-advancement that is done in the family.
Yeah, yeah. Donald, great call. Tell me again your rule for your kids.
One, they have to plug their cell phones up at night outside of their bedroom, you know, like in the living room or something.
Right, like
they
it.
Can, go ahead.
I like that one. Go ahead. What else?
They can't have it at the dinner table.
Like that one, too.
And any notifications or anything like that, they have to put it on vibrate so it won't affect anybody else's personal space.
No
digging. Sound space.
Donald, you're a leader. Good job, man.
I had a really
have a good day, sir.
Thank you, Donald.
Thanks, Donald. Go ahead, Laura. What do you got?
I wanted a bike when I got back. You know, I left my bike in France, so I needed to buy another one. And it's winter time, and I thought I could get a better price. So I found an ad on Facebook. A guy in Evanston named Derek Troy was selling bikes, and we texted up and back. So I used my cell phone for this, advancing the search for the bike and driving to his location. When I got there, it was his house, which was a little bit of a surprise. I didn't expect that. I thought it was a business. I thought I was texting back and forth with a businessman. And he had a lot of bikes around his house. And when I arrived, he was bent over the front of a bike working on it. And I got out of the car and I said, "Hey." And he didn't respond. And I said it louder and he still didn't respond. And then I thought, well, maybe he's got earbuds in, listening to music. So I got in his line of sight and waved. And then he stood up and took out his cell phone and texted to me.
Wow.
And at that moment, I realized he was deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like fantastic. I felt wonderful to be in communication with this gentleman by using my cell phone and texting. It was, part of it was the fun of being in the presence of someone texting at the same time. We never do that, except I did it with you, remember, a little while ago, and you thought it was fun.
I'll never forget it.
Okay. So, yeah, I got a bike from this guy. He's got a ton of bikes.
That's so cool.
He does this, if you donate athletic shoes, he works with an organization that does a lot of different things. It's called Deaf Planet Soul. One of the things they do is get those athletic shoes to people in developing nations and people who need them who can't buy them. And he'll take down the price of the bike you're buying if you donate the shoes. And then Deaf Planet Society is this community-based organization which has volunteers teaching and coaching and training everything from kickboxing to sign language on a voluntary basis. And it felt like just such a positive energy group of people. I love the whole biking and the winter bike. And the funny thing too, here, there are words for winter biking,
mm-hmm.
where in Europe, people just bike all year round. When there's no vocabulary like winter biking. You're biking. You're riding your bike. But Chicago, it's like something we didn't do before. Now we're doing it. It's got a name. It's called winter biking.
Yeah, I might have to delve into a little winter biking when we get after Rogers' news. So I'm not going to lie. Fascinating break here with Laura. We came to the...
What are we listening to? I love this.
It's very nice. It's very mellow. It's very celebratory. 4:38, good morning. 720 WGN.
Shantae, what are we listening to?
Matt Bubala off tonight. I'm Mark Harmon. She's Laura Meeker. Shantae, what are we listening to? Music. It's music, Laura.
I know, but
this
I
is
love
Fifth
it.
Harmony. Don't you know that? It's called Work.
Thank you.
Shantae told me that in my ear. Do you like to dance, Laura?
I do.
Yeah, you're boogieing down right now. We decided during the break that Laura's way cooler than me. I said it, and she's like, "I know." It was like,
and
"No,
I, no, more than that." I said, "Take a look at you."
Yeah, and then she said, "Take a look at me. You reek of, not caring.
Take a look at me. Take a look at you.
Right.
I didn't say reek either. Don't misquote me.
I said, what's wrong with how I look?
You're creating an impression for people about me. They can't see me. They don't know me.
Well, they can see you.
You're laughing. They can. We're on the internet right now. Yes, there's cameras.
Shut up.
Yes. That's how I can see you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep. You're on camera right now.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nobody told me that. Well, would have fixed my hair. I would have done my nails.
I don't think you need to worry about like a ton of people watching us right now. I'm sure the numbers aren't overflowing. There might be three people.
Where's the camera?
Maybe four.
Where's the camera?
There's three of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
I would have appreciated somebody mentioning that to me. I really didn't know.
I never think about it.
It's a close-up.
How can I see it?
Go to WGNradio.com.
Yeah. Right now?
Go on the computer. Yeah.
Sure.
And then click on Watch Now or Watch Live.
Fabulous. It's all about me. Thanks for laughing, Roger. Yeah. Mark didn't laugh at all. He's thinking, this girl.
I didn't know about the Watch Live thing.
Mark's thinking, all these
where
people
is this on the website?
It's go to the website.
I'm
it should
on the
say
website.
Watch Live or
WGN.
Listen.
Oh, Watch. There it is. I see it.
Watch, yeah.
Bang. Bang. There you are, Laura.
Wait a minute.
You look amazing.
I'm at WGN.com.
It's WGNradio.com.
Oh, thank you.
It says Watch.
I didn't get to the radio part yet. Hang on.
There you go.
All right.
Gotta add that.
I would say that's not good radio.
For us to be looking stuff up?
Yeah. Well, you do that.
Engage with the listeners.
Promoting.
Watch later.
Okay.
You do that. I'm gonna bring in a couple calls. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the cell phone and how it's ruining your life or making it better. What's your perspective? 312-981-7200. Let's bring in Paxton, who's been waiting patiently. Thank you for being patient, Paxton. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Laura and Mark.
Good morning.
Laura, that story about the deaf child and the bicycles, that was so sweet that it sort of makes my comment insignificant.
Oh, no, go ahead.
It was a wonderful thing. Charles Dickens noticed this phenomenon back in 1832, and he said that newspapers are now so prevalent and people so obsessed with them that they pass each other on the streets of London reading them, ignoring fellow people as if we were not all passengers to the grave.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, he just nailed that. But my point is there's always each society is plagued by this. I'm sure you don't recall the 80s, and there were the walk boys, where people would tune out of society with their
the Walkman.
They were called walk boys. They were little cassette players.
Yeah.
That you walked with, and you were plugged into your earphones.
They weren't walk boys, Pax, and they were walk men.
Walk men.
And as a matter of fact, I do recall, and I have one in my possession.
I so wanted to rip those out of people's hands and say, look, there's people on the street. There's life here. Mm-hmm. That's all I got, guys. I was surprised, refreshingly surprised this morning when I woke up and heard you guys. It's fun to listen.
Thanks, Paxton. Appreciate you.
Be well.
And that's actually a good reminder for us that everyone thinks it's just happening now, and people are all in their phones, and no one's connected. He's referencing 1985 Walkman, Back to the Future, Marty McFly.
That's true.
Right?
Right.
It's been going on for over 30 years now.
But it's different.
We're getting less and less connected.
The thing is that this is visual, and the way people are like this and walking on the street, and they might bump into you, and that doesn't matter to them, or they're walking out into traffic without checking it carefully.
Yeah.
That's
what are you talking
about?
I'm on my phone.
What?
I didn't hear what you were talking about. I just had to jump back on my phone, check, make sure that Facebook, everything was going on all right over
there.
And
I was too busy looking down at my phone to even notice what you said or hear you.
Right. And just a second ago, I don't know if people were paying like really close attention, but you could hear us talking and us talking because you had your computer up and you didn't have the sound out.
Right.
And you were distracted watching the show.
Right. Totally.
Right.
And you know what I had to do? I had to close the computer.
Right. You closed the computer because you realized you weren't paying attention to what Paxton was saying for a second.
Exactly.
And then he came back to you, Paxton. So we're constantly being bombarded with stimuli every which way.
And we're allowing ourselves to be pulled out.
We are. So it's a constant battle. Like, here's one thing I just told you that I am so excited because my car, which I just bought a new used car, so I'm gone from having to be on the phone in my car to my car hooks up to the phone hooks up to my car, so I can talk to you.
But more than that, after telling me you were excited about all that, you said, "But it's a really boring car."
It is a boring car.
And what did you mean by that?
It's not sexy.
And what's a sexy car?
A BMW, a Mercedes, not even that. Let me roll that back.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be one of those eclectic. What are those smaller, smart car? Not smart car, but the little guys. What am I trying to think of? Whatever. Any car
smart
that
smart cars are the little.
Any car that's not boxy and has some flavor, something.
How about a Citroen?
Honda... Sure. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to agree with you anyway.
Is that French car that looks like a turtle?
Yeah. Give me a... something that doesn't look like your standard car on the road. And a Honda Accord, as nice of, and reliable as they are, they're not exciting.
It's not sexy. I see it, but it is just so comfortable.
It is comfortable.
Solid and secure and
right.
easy. And,
right.
But not sexy. It's
right.
true.
Right. Right. It's not, and
Jaguar, that's sexy.
There you go. Okay. Jaguar, sexy, bam. Whatever Badish drives, sexy, bam.
Roger, what do you drive?
I've got a little box that my refrigerator came in. I draw wheels on it.
Right, right.
That's what I use.
Back to the cell phone we go. Tom, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, Mark and Laura.
Good morning, Tom.
I just a quick thing, you know, the old world and the new world, it's just the way things are now, the walking around, it's just you're not in their world. And then I watch my wife go crazy cuckoo over a teenager trying to get her clean her room. And I'm sitting there watching this, and my teenager lives in her phone, and it's become a joke. We don't really even, you know, try to make any rules about it. She's getting old enough, and it's... I said, why don't you try texting her, clean your room? And you can do it as often as you want, you know, because like every 10 minutes, I told you I will. I told you I will. Back and forth. So the stress is just ridiculous. It's bleeding over into me because I have to listen to it.
That's an age-old battle.
Yeah, age-old battle, but it worked. That was the funny part.
Well, congratulations.
Good job, Tom.
She was responsive to it, and everything's kind of changed a little bit, and I think... you just got to kind of accept what's going on and figure out how to use it.
There you go.
It's all about balance.
Thank you, Tom. You're all about making adjustments. You're all about seeing what's possible. You're all about stepping into the moment, and that's why Tom's winning.
Lou says he took a personal stand against cell phones and doesn't own one.
You want to talk to Lou? Let's talk to Lou. Lou, welcome to 720 WGN.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I've got a mental picture in my mind of what you look like, Laura, so...
Do I want to know?
Oh, yeah, it's very good, very good.
You're attracted to Laura, Lou?
She sounds very nice on the phone. I don't know her personally, but she's got a very nice voice, and again, you know, conversation's a theater of the mind.
Lou?
Yes, ma'am?
Have you got a profile page on the website?
No, Laura, I do not.
She's single, Lou.
No, yeah.
How old are you, Lou?
Uh-oh.
You're not going to believe I'm 68 years old.
68. Laura, 68-year-old? That's a no. Lou, you're out. Good try.
I didn't say a word, Lou. Mark thinks he's my agent.
Didn't have to say anything the way she looked at me.
No,
Lou,
no,
trust
no,
me, you're
no,
out.
No, Lou, I gave no such look.
Really?
So Mark barely knows me, doesn't know my looks.
So you'd go out with Lou?
I might.
Lou, you're in there.
Hey, I still got it, huh?
What kind of car do you drive?
Well, actually, I drive a caravan and a small pickup truck.
Pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Flatbed?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Flatbed?
No, just a regular box pickup truck with a cap on the back.
You know, you had me if it was a flatbed.
Oh.
Lou, go out and get a flatbed. You can fix this instantly.
it's a standing joke whenever we go somewhere that I tell people, my wife and I, we're the last two people in a continent who don't own a cell phone.
Are you serious, Lou?
Yes, I am.
What's wrong with you? Go get a phone.
And they kind of give me this funny look, and then they sometimes agree, and they say, you know what, good for you.
Yeah, I say good for you, Lou.
Nah,
I do.
I say go get a phone, Lou. What happens if you want to call someone?
Well, you know what? I existed 68 years with most of the life without a cell phone. You know, I did have a cell phone at one time. But there was the older ones. I even go back to the old box phones. That's how long I used to own a phone. But we got by all these years, and I'm busier now than I've ever been because I'm recently retired.
That's how it goes.
And I'll tell you, I don't get me wrong. There are times I wish I had a cell phone for a simple reason. You know, I wish I could have called my wife or I wish I could have gotten in touch with somebody. But what did I do before I had a cell phone? And this is how we look at it. We got by. We still get by. We don't miss any calls. You know, when I get somewhere or if somebody wants, I tell somebody where I'm going. They know where I'm going to be, and I know where they're going to be if I need to get a hold of them. Nothing is that important in life that I really have to have their attention this minute.
And if we look back on it and realize doctors were the only people who needed to have some form of immediate communication.
Right.
But now everybody thinks that they need it.
Well, you know, I'll go out with my wife. We'll be out in traffic, and, every car you pass at a stoplight or you come up to a stop or you take off, you can just see them, the glare in their face, and they're texting and they're calling and they got their phone up to their ear so nobody can see them.
Yep.
And it's just amazing how there's such disrespect for the law. It is a law.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, are you an idiot? Do you really think that, your driving is safer? My wife made a sign one time, and we had it printed up on a piece of plastic, hard plastic. We used to put it in the window of our car, and it said, "Improve your driving skills. Hang up your phone."
Yeah.
And people would come next to us. They'd look at me, and some of them would give me a frown. Some of them would give me a thumbs up. One guy even rolled a window down one time and said, "Lou, you actually made me realize how stupid it is to be on the cell phone." And I said, I'm not trying to insult you, but it's true. And, I even called your station one day. They had a conversation about cell phone usage. And I told a gentleman I talked to years ago, I'm a good driver. I consider myself to be a very good driver. I'm not a slouch behind the wheel because, I have a tendency to be a little aggressive sometimes. But my ability to drive is hindered when I'm on a cell phone, when I used to be on a cell phone. And I don't care how much you tell me cell phone doesn't affect your driving skills. It does, because you cannot concentrate as much as you should be when you're on a cell phone.
Lou, you're hitting all the notes, man.
And thank you, Lou, because you reminded me when you mentioned a sign. There was a story. I think it wasn't me, but Shante found this story. Our show producer, thank you very much. Daycare in Texas had a sign at the entrance where parents came to pick up their kids: "Get off your cell phones." And a woman came up to pick up her kids outside. It's in a little town outside of Houston. She saw the sign: "You are picking up your child! ! Get off your phone. Your child is happy to see you. Are you happy to see your child?" It continued: "We have seen children trying to hand their parents their work that they completed that day, and the parent is on the phone. And we hear the child saying, 'Mommy, mommy, mommy, look!' And the parent is paying more attention to their phone than their child, and it's appalling. Get off your phone." Close quote. Now, this woman happened to be carrying her phone. She was impressed by the sign. She felt like that's right. And she took a picture. And the picture went on, she put it on Facebook, and it went viral. Did you see that story?
I did. It's inspirational in the fact that, hey, let's look at what's important, what could be more important than your kids.
Picking them up at daycare, and
right,
the kids are excited to see the parents, and they're on their phones. It's just not good. It's just not.
Ain't going anywhere. I gotta tell you that. Hey,
that, but somehow we've got to find a way of curbing our behavior. And there, one parent wrote a comment on the Facebook in response to the Facebook post,
mm-hmm,
pushing back. "Sorry, I'd remove my child from that school. They're right, of course, but that sign is not how you talk to another person.
Ooh.
Especially one paying your
Ooh.
Salary.
Ooh.
I'm sure it's true to be heard by many, many parents, but these are the people I would have entrusted to help teach my kids respect, and they were just as disrespectful
Ooh.
With that sign as the parents were on the phone."
Now,
two wrongs don't make a right.
The problem is you, not the sign. Know that.